Okay, good morning, everyone. We have sheets going around. Okay, so this week we're going to turn to chapter 4 here, which you see. And it's entitled Chevra, Community. I chose this topic because I think it's a good follow-up from what we discussed last time. Last time we spoke about being in the army of Hashem and setting goals for ourselves personally and for the community in terms of role models and who we want to become. But we don't exist in a vacuum. We exist in a context. And what Ravolbi introduces to us in this chapter is an important discussion, the discussion about community and what that looks like for us. So you see where it's side A, the first piece. We're just going to take the first piece here, then we'll switch to the other side, which will be more pertinent for us. Lios, to be, bein chavirim, between friends, among friends, asher she'ifa achas lahem, that they have a shared goal, a shared vision, chavaya achas mishalheves osam, one experience ignites them, ish ozer l're'ehu ba'avoda hayom yomis, if every person helps their colleague or their peer in their daily effort, ula'achiv yomar chazak, and to your fellow you say, be strong, biraga'im shel rifyon v'chalishos hadas, at moments of weakness, and chalishos hadas, I guess you would call it, you know, tough times. Zui masas nafsho shel kol adam. This is the soul burden of every person, ubefrat kol tzayir, and especially of every young person. So, of course, for adolescents, this is very important because adolescents are struggling with questions of identity: who am I, and how do I fit into my peer group? But it's also very important for us, maybe on two levels. Right, the first level of finding a supportive peer group has to do with just that, the support that it provides. Dr. Pelkovitz likes to tell about some research that there were two people who were standing at the foot of a mountain, at the base of a mountain. So the first one shows up and they're going, you know, these are two friends who are going to climb some gigantic mountain in Nepal somewhere. So you take one man and you put him at the base of the mountain and you ask him to estimate how high is this mountain. So he'll give you whatever estimate, or she, whoever's standing at the bottom of this mountain, will give you a certain estimate of how high the mountain is. But if you bring the second person, and now that second person stands next to the first person, and you ask the first person, how high is the mountain? They will actually estimate that the mountain is not as tall as it was when they first estimated it. Because of the impact of the Tovim Hashnai Min Ho'echa, that when there's somebody standing next to you at the base of the mountain, it may be the same height. The mountain might be the same height, but the perception is different because you have somebody standing with you. So the importance of having Chaverim, a strong support network in the area that he describes of Ula'achiv Yomar Chazak Biragaim Shal Rifyon V'Chalisha Sadas, that's of utmost importance. You know, many of us go through different times, different challenges. And when we go through different challenges, the Gemara describes Ein Maseches Sanhedrin, another great Torah from Dr. Pelkovitz. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara has it first, but Dr. Pelkovitz made it famous for me. The Gemara describes, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Da'aga Belev Ish Yashchena. If a person has a worry on them, so you should be Yashchena. And the Gemara says, well, what exactly does Yashchena mean? The Gemara presents two options. So one is yesichena midaito, put it out of your mind. Those are people who are distractors. And that's one healthy, normal coping mechanism when we go through difficult times. You see this a lot, Rachman al-Tzlan, in bereavement. You see sometimes you go to a shiva house, and sometimes the people in the shiva house, they do not want to talk about what's going on. They want to be distractors. Yesichena midaito. They don't want to deal with it. They can't think about it right now. And that's why when you come to a shiva house, the halacha says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to speak first. Because you don't know what kind of mood the person is. They may want to talk. They may not want to talk. They may want to talk about something else. But the other opinion, the Gemara, is yesichena la'acherim. Da'aga b'levish, if you're worried about something, if you have a concern, so share it with somebody else, talk about it. And those are attenders. So Dr. Pelkovitz points out that when you encounter somebody in a difficult circumstance, when it comes to bereavement or other kinds of challenges, different kinds of people react differently. So you have, you know, distractors, people who don't want to talk about it, but then you have attenders, people who do want to talk about it. And they need people with whom they can share that. So a person who is a rock, who is an island, so then they may be okay if they are distracted, they don't want to talk about it, but if they do want to talk about it, so then they're going to find themselves in a weaker point. And that's not a source of weakness, that's a reality of how we can cope with various things. So having a strong support network is very important. And I would even add, the truth is, probably, that at different times of our lives, we probably oscillate between those models. Some days we feel like talking to other people, and sometimes we feel like not talking to other people. So it doesn't have to be that, you know, for the rest of your life, you decide, you know what, I'm a distractor, I'm never going to deal with these things, I'm just going to put them away somewhere. You know, you may feel like that one day, but another day you're going to feel some other way. But the other issue that he mentions here, that he kind of alludes to, is the idea of a shared vision, a shared goal. She'ifa achas lahem. So how is it when we have something that we're inspired about, when we feel like something is important to us in our religious growth, in our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we share that with someone, and that person dismisses it, especially if they dismiss it in a cynical type of way. So that is extremely deflating. It's extremely deflating. You almost feel embarrassed that you put yourself out there. You tell somebody, you know, I heard this amazing Dvar Torah, or I saw this amazingly inspirational thing on the street, and they're like, you know, they give some kind of remark that's not inspired, and worse, it's cynical. So cynicism is a really dangerous thing because it sucks out the meaning and the inspiration in the world around us. When that happens, you kind of feel like you get your legs cut out from under you. But what happens when somebody sends you on a WhatsApp, on your family WhatsApp, you know, it could have 97 people, it could be pinging all day, but some people, they get these things on their WhatsApp where they'll see like a little snippet of a shiur. I know that Nechama on her family WhatsApp, they post all kinds of various interesting things. I'm not saying that's why I don't have a smartphone, but it might. If I had a smartphone, then I would probably be in that WhatsApp group, which would be amazing. It would be great. I have no complaints. But this way, I can filter the WhatsApp group by she can share with me at the end of the day the various important components of what's happening in that WhatsApp group and not the other things that are maybe not as pertinent to my daily life. So sometimes somebody will post like a little vort or a video that's going around somewhere, and then somebody can repost it or can comment on it, wow, that's really beautiful, or it's really meaningful. You know, and then you could share that with somebody else. So what's the experience then? It reinforces the inspiration that you felt about that video or that quote or about that Dvar Torah or that experience. Because when you're part of a group of chaverim asher she'ifa achas lahem, if there is one chavaya, one experience that is mishalheves or something that gets people excited, so then people are going to share in that excitement. And it's going to kind of create this, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It creates a great positive energy. And that's another reason why we need a chevra. And we need to find a chevra for ourselves. And that chevra can have, obviously, concentric circles, the people who are most close to us, then friends and acquaintances. But we need to find, and we also need to create, a chevra where we have, number one, the basic support. You know, and that gives us sustenance. Unfortunately, yesterday I was at a levaya of a young man in our community. And one of the things that was talked about at this levaya was something that I saw with my own eyes, is the peer group of this young man, of this boy, how integrally connected they were, the friends of this boy, and how that gave him tremendous chiyus. You know, this even just last week, many of his friends came and they spent quality time with him. So that's a chaver. That's the kind of friend that gives somebody chizuk, especially in Rachman Litzlan, the most dire of circumstances. And then there's the other kind of chaverim that have this she'ifa achas, that provide us with an inspiration. They give us chizuk. You know, when we go to a Shabbos table, and if our Shabbos table, kind of like chevra, are people who share that kind of inspiration, then when someone shares a Dvar Torah, it's something that we look upon favorably, that people get excited about, that people think is wonderful, as opposed to some kind of like snarky, cynical, you know, and I don't know if anybody's ever had that experience, but when you do have that experience, that is a complete shutdown. Like, there's no Mayadidu singing after that. Like, that's the end. That's the death of the spirit of that Shabbos meal. So we need to create, when somebody has a Dvar Torah, especially comes up when you have little kids, you know, little kids come around, they have a Dvar Torah to share, so they want to be supported, they want that environment, and we need to provide that for them. But the truth is, it's easy to say, yeah, it's good for the little kids to have a Dvar Torah or to be excited about the Dvar Torah. It's really for us. What kind of chavaya are we creating for ourselves? What kind of community are we creating? So to do that, there is a mechanism, he says. So turn to the other side. He quotes a medrash, which we're not going to go through inside, which describes a group of malachi hashareis as chaverim. You know, we're going to build this community, we're going to develop close relationships with people, we're going to have chaverim, we're going to have friends, and we're going to have a support system. So malachi hashareis, he says, v'advar bruim, the things are clear, that malachi hashareis, the angels, nikru chaverim, they are called chaverim. Why are they called friends? Yan, because she'ein b'nehem kina v'sina v'tacharus. They don't have among them jealousy and resentment and competition. There's no competition there. Ulam ein behem yetzara klal. They don't have any yetzahara. So what does the Rambam say? Quotes a pirush Mishnayos of the Rambam in line 5. Chaver nikra talmud chacham. A chaver is called a talmud chacham. V'chein ye'ikru l'talmidei chachamim chaverim. And we refer to talmidei chachamim as chaverim. V'ulai nikru b'zeh Hashem. They're called this way. Why? Ki chevrasam zeh l'zeh chevr ne'emana. Ki chevr l'shem shamayim. Ideally, a group of talmidei chachamim, and in the reality, it's not always this way, but ideally, it should be a chevr which is l'shem shamayim. It shouldn't be to cut someone else down. It shouldn't be out of competition. It should be out of a sincere, mutual vision of trying to aspire to achieve the truth of what is the Dvar Hashem. We know actually that in some communities, particularly in German communities, you know, sometimes you'll hear someone called up as an aliyah, for an aliyah, they're called hechaver such and such. You have this in the shul sometimes, because there's an idea that there is something called a chaver, which exists in Talmudic context for other reasons, but the Rambam is saying that what distinguishes people of Torah is that they have this shared vision, and they are a chevra ne'emana, and therefore it's not about cutting other people down, it's not about competition, it's about finding the shared goal. So what is our challenge? It's a challenge, because says Rav Volbi on line 7, Ulam, he says, however, or yet, ad shenizke lekach, until we can merit to achieve this level of community, of friendship with other people, liosenu chevra l'shem shamayim, that we should be in a chevra that is l'shem shamayim with other people. What do we need to do? Chovosenu, we have an obligation, l'hashtis chevrosenu al yisod shel derech eretz, to establish our chevra on the basis of derech eretz. Because if we want to have a chavrusa, a friend, someone who's going to be there to support us, and we want someone who's going to be there to help inspire us, so then that has to be built on a basis of derech eretz. What does that mean? He says, "Bo re'ei hagdaraso haniflo shel harambam b'mahuso shel derech eretz." He says, listen to what the Rambam says is the definition of derech eretz. B'masnis and shili perakama de kiddushin, the end of kiddushin, the first perak. Kol she'eino lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishna v'lo b'derech eretz eino min ha'yishuv. Anybody who is not of study of mikra and mishnah and derech eretz is not from the settlement. V'derech eretz, in the block print, line 9, hu chaburas b'nei adam, chabura tova b'nachas uv'musar. It's people who are a chabura tova, a good group, benachas uvemusar. What does that mean, nachas and musar? So he says, first of all, on line 11 at the end, says Rav Volbi, Masha ani omer benachas, that which I say calmly, shomim umekablo mimeni. That which I communicate, if I speak calmly, if I'm a person who interacts with other people calmly, people will listen to that. They'll respect that. Isn't that one of, for some of us, one of our challenges, that when we get irritated, we get frustrated, we lose our cool. And then we start yelling, but at the end of the day, when we start yelling, everybody else stops listening. That's what happens. V'tzarech l'meimrinu, line number 12, he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, b'nichusa, it has to be said calmly, ki heichi d'lekablinu mineh, that people should listen to him. Says Rav Volbi, line 13, mashani omer b'derech schok o kas, that which I say as a joke, or with kas, with anger, einu b'nachas, einu miskabel, it's not miskabel, it's not listened, ve'einu bone chevra tova. If we hang around people who are always angry, they're always bitter, they're always negative, and some of us have come across people like that, and sometimes maybe even we've been stuck in that rut at times in our lives, so then it doesn't build a good chevra. People who are negative, you know, you might connect to them, but you might find that in 5 minutes, you're at the short end of their negativity. It doesn't build a healthy chevra if people are negative. And if people who are bederech schok, some people, they're always making jokes, which is great. Humor is great. We could have a whole morning to talk about why humor is healthy and it's important. It's part of our avodas Hashem. But the truth is, the people who we know who are good friends, who we are in a chabura tova with, they know how to be serious sometimes. And if a person never knows how to have a serious conversation, how could you really connect with that person on a deep level? Every time you talk to them, it's always a joke. And life is not always a joke. Sometimes, oh, thank you. Sometimes life is quite serious. Sometimes you need to have an important conversation with somebody. And if that's the case, then you're not going to build a chevra tova if it's always about a joke, especially when these jokes could be at the expense of somebody else. So then you're kind of in this negative, cynical circle. So he says that's Tanai number one, to build a chevra for ourselves. But he says in line 14, Aval nachas levad, but equanimity alone eino maspik, it's not adequate. Kol ha-meniyim ha-nafshiyim b'yachasim ha-chevratiyim, all of the impediments on a personal level as it relates to society, as it relates to others, b'enochiyusam mekoram, they come from enochius. What is enochius? It comes from the word Anochi, the big I, the ego. So many times, why is it that I am in a sticky situation with my wife, or my kids, or my siblings, or my parents, or my friends? It's because the I is getting in the way. The Anochi Omed, it's the I. So I was too tired, so I was frustrated, or I wasn't patient enough, or I was aggravated, because I was expecting that something was coming to me. And, you know, if I'm tired, everybody else's life has to stop. And everybody has to reframe their whole existence around the fact that I'm tired. And the more that you put that, you know, that I in there, the worse it becomes. One of Dr. Pelkovitz's Yesodos, when he taught us about interpersonal communication and how spouses communicate, especially in a marriage, he talked about the difference between I sentences and you sentences. And those are different. You know, a lot of times he would point out that I sentences are very good and you sentences can be very dangerous. Because you sentences are constantly shifting the blame to somebody else and they can be debatable. You made me upset. And you'll say, you didn't make me upset. You know yourself. But if I say I was upset, so then you can't take away from the fact that I was upset. Whether or not you made me upset or you didn't make me upset, I was upset. So that's one difference between a you statement and an I statement. So when you have a conversation, it's good to have I statements. Because you could say, this is how I'm feeling. whether you agree with me or not, whether you think it's valid or not, whether you were the cause of it or not, it's not respective. It's not relevant. It's about I. How am I feeling? And now you can deal with that. But there's also a flip side, which is if all my statements with other people always start with I, then I start to hear something that's a little bit problematic, isn't it? Everything is about I. Well, I felt like that, and I felt like this, and I felt like that, and I had this, and I had that. Well, where's the space for somebody else? How can you ever have a community? How could you ever have a real friend if it's all about I? And some of us have encountered people where every conversation that we have with them, it's always about them. You finish the conversation, you're like, wait a second, I don't think they asked me how my day was, or my week, or my life, the last five times we've spoken or texted. It's always about them. So that, is that going to build a chavaya achas? Is that going to build a shared experience? You know, that's just the much older and, I guess, more seasoned experience that the kid who has in school who's constantly asking you to share your lunch. Right? If that kid happens to now be your 50-year-old neighbor, and every time they talk to you, they're basically saying, can you share your lunch? Right? They're never asking, you know, do you need a snack? Or do you need some lunch? They're asking it in different ways. You're having that conversation in different ways, but it's always about Anochi. And that's not going to build a healthy friendship if it's always about Anochi, if it's always about I, if I'm always in the middle. That doesn't mean there aren't places for I statements. Of course, that's where we started, Dr. Pelkovitz pointed out. We need to be able to represent who am I, what are my needs, and how do I express them. But if that's the sum total of everything, so then that's not going to build a healthy community. It's not going to build a healthy friendship. He says, 16, line 15. Yetzer, his baltus vehishtatlus mize. Svilus shel yish chashdonus ubikores akra mize. Hein tsuros habitula enochios hamesuavos besocha chevra. So when you have this ego, all of a sudden you've got competition going on. You've got people feeling insecure, because if it's all about me, so everything that I do, it's about trying to promote myself, you know, and then I'm going to be insecure about what about somebody else, and how does that affect when they text me this? Well, what do they really mean? If it's all about me, so then every text conversation is always like you're worried. You know, what is that person really thinking? You know, what are they not thinking? Who are they really talking about? Are they talking about me, or are they talking about themselves? Are they looking for an angle? So he says, if it's about the Anochi, you're going to have all of these unhealthy expressions. And a lot of time, that Anochius, if you asked Dr. Tversky, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, he would say that that Anochius a lot of times comes from a low self-esteem. So that low self-esteem becomes like this non-stop focus on myself to try to build myself up, which then sometimes relates to the nachas piece that there people are, who have low self-esteem are cutting other people down. So that's a total disaster recipe for a chevra, for a community, for friends. And the problem is sometimes in life we get stuck in that rut and we don't even realize it. No one can hold up for a mirror for us and tell us, listen to how we're talking to other people. Listen to how we're framing our life. It's all about the Anochi. The Anochi, it's destroying us. He says, therefore, in line 17, says Rav Volbi, neged bituye anochius ele tzarech lilachem. We have to fight against these expressions of selfishness, of self-centeredness. Bechidesh yekiyum ubinyan lechever tova. So that we can build and sustain a good community, whether it's a good marriage or a good friendship or a good neighborhood. Zeu, and this is his pshat, line 18, Zeu Musar Sheharambam Dorish Khan. This is the Musar that the Rambam is talking about. Asher Bal Derech Eretz, that a person of Derech Eretz, Chayav L'Rasein, the person needs the Resin in Hebrew. Resin is a bit for a horse, like a, how do you call that? not a muzzle. It's like a like how they hold the horse by the mouth. Yeah, a bit. It holds on to it to direct it to keep it. That's how you hold it by the straps. Lurasein, to harness. That's what he means. You need to harness these nitios of enochios, these self-centered drives. Kishuhu nifgash im chaverav, when you meet somebody else. It's a tall order, but it's the goal that we need to think about. How often, when I'm talking to somebody else, am I thinking about me, or am I really asking about them? When they're talking, am I really thinking about the next thing that I'm going to say? Or am I listening to what they're going to say? And we know that happens. Half the time, when we're talking to someone, we know they're actually not listening to us. They're really thinking about what they're going to say next, probably because they don't let us even finish our sentence. And that shows us that for the last 3 seconds, they weren't even listening to us. If you ask them, could you repeat it? They couldn't repeat it to you because they weren't listening. So these are two ingredients, nachas and musar, that we need to think about in our daily lives, and not to expect, as we said last time in the Tzivas Hashem discussion, not to expect that we're going to be perfect the first time around, but the first step is going to be the self-awareness. We could go back to our chats or our conversations in our mind and say, well, how am I doing in this? You know, what's my barometer for my enochius? Is it really all about me? And what's an indicator? Especially when you go back to those flashpoints, those conversations with people that aren't going well. Sometimes it's not my fault. There are plenty of crazy people around the world. We could probably all make lists of them. We know many of them. There are lots of crazy people. We're not discounting that. But where's the enochi in it? Where's the part that maybe I have some piece of this, some aspect of this, you know, bad circle that's going on? And that's something that we can do on a daily basis. We can recheck with ourselves. Number one, how do we try, and it's not easy, especially for some people more than others, how do we try to make sure that there's nachas, that we speak calmly, that we have a certain equanimity that we're building toward? It's not going to be perfect the first time, but it's going to be a goal. And how's there going to be derech eretz? And if we can accomplish that, then we go back to the first goal. Then we have created for ourselves and others, we've created, number one, a safe space for people to find chizuk, because everybody needs that sometimes. And number two, you've also created the safe space for inspiration. Besides the inspiration itself that we need to create, which we should devote one morning to talking about, creating inspiration among ourselves and sharing those things and supporting other people. But I think it's a prerequisite, what he's talking about. You're not going to have an inspired community if people are selfish and they have low self-esteem and they're cutting each other down. You're not. It's not going to be. It's a breeding ground for negativity, not for inspiration. You know, in addition to the fact that we all need to be role models for each other and we need to support each other in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's not going to happen. None of that can happen in ground that is sown with toxicity. But if it's sown with a safe space where people feel like, you know, you have something nice to offer, that's beautiful, that's awesome, that's terrific. It doesn't take anything away from me. And I'm there to say, yeah, I'm so excited to learn from that. And so through that, the safe space, you can also hopefully be able to grow this idea, this chavaya achas mishalheves osam, this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're all working toward on an individual basis. When we share it with somebody else, they can reinforce that in our lives as well. Have a great day and a good week. Thanks for coming.